بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, can you pass me that folder yet? Right on the side of the wall. Yeah. Jazakallah khair. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be having our second session, reading from the sharh, or explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and the commentary or explanation by Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Abdul Ibn Baz, rahimahumullah. May Allah have mercy upon both of them. Tonight we're going to be looking at the explanation of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's introduction to this book, his introduction to the book. And we're also going to look briefly at just a brief mention of the Arkan of Iman that he begins with in his introduction to the book. Before we do so, we're going to look at some of the issues that we dealt with last week from the question and study guide for lecture number one. The study guide that we read about tonight should say lecture number two. It's just a printing mistake. But last week's study guide, we're going to be looking at those questions tonight before we begin with our topic for tonight. The first question being, mention the title of the original text under study for this course, the title of the original text, and why was it given this name, and mention other examples similar to that. What is the title of the original text? Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah. That's simple enough. Now, second part of the question, why was it given this name? Abdul Wali.
Because it was written for the people of Wasat.
Now, because he wrote this Yani to the people of Al-Wasit. So it's called Yani Aqidah Wasitiyah. Now, and what are some other examples that were mentioned last week of books Yani having similar titles with this kind of reasoning? Another book from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is Al-Aqidah Al-Hamawiyyah, that was written to the people of Hama, and also Al-Aqidah Al-Tadmuriyyah, written to the people of Al-Tadmur. Second question, mention the name, including father and grandfather's name, and the year of birth and death of the mu'allif, yani the author of the original text. Yani his name, including his father and grandfather's name, and the year of his birth and death. Now, name. Pate. Okay, Abdurrahman is the grandfather. The Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, not Shaykh Abdul Aziz. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Now.
Shaykh al-Islam Abu al-Abbas.
Abu al-Abbas, uh-huh.
Ahmed bin Abdul Halim. Min Abdin Abdul Salam.
Now, Ahmed is his name. His father's name is what? Abdul Halim. And his grandfather's name? Abdul Salam. Now. And the year of his date, the year of his birth and death. Now, help me with your name. Ahmed. Thayyib. I'll try, inshallah.
Born in 661.
Born in the year 661 of the Hijra.
Died
uh-huh.
in 728.
And died in the year 728 of the Hijri calendar. What do we mean by Hijri?
Since the Prophet.
More specific. Now, but sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. More specific. Huh? Naam, from the time of the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he migrated from Mecca to Medina. And the Muslim calendar later on was established based upon that year. Naam. Tayyib. The third question, mention the concise description of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah that was offered by Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz. How did he describe him? Very, very briefly. Somebody who didn't speak yet. Anybody? Yeah, Muhammad. Okay, he said, Huwa imamun, imamun. And what else did he say with that?
Ibn imamun, ibn imamun.
Okay, the meaning, yeah, but the wording that he used, abuhu, wa abuhu kazalik, wa jadduhu kazalik. Yani meaning he is an imam, and his father was just like that. An imam, and his jed, his grandfather, was just like that. An imam, yani all of them were a'imma. A'imma, al-ilm, a'immatul ilm, wal-huda. And he and his father and his grandfather, all of them were scholars, imams. Question number four, mention the name, including father and grandfather, and year of date, year of birth and death of the sharih, yani the one who is explaining the original text. His name, father and grandfather's name, and also the year of his birth and death. Tayyib, Talib.
Sheikh
al-Imam al-Alim.
Sheikh al-Imam al-Alim.
Mujtahid. Baqiyat al-Salaf. All these are descriptions coming to his name.
Mufti.
Mufti al-Muslimin. Now, what else?
Abu Abdullah.
Abu Abdullah. Abdulaziz, son of?
Bin Abdullah.
Abdullah, the son of?
Bin Abdurrahman.
Now, year of his, somebody else, give me the year of his birth and death. Ahmed, while I got your name in my mind, let me use it before I forget.
He was born?
Yeah.
And he died 1333? Or no, 1330 he was born, his father died 1330.
Okay, 1330 he was born, 1330
he
of the Hijrah?
1420.
And he died 1420. Naam. Sa. Which means that he lived how many years?
98.
No, 90. According to the numbers, it would be 90. But since he was born in the last month, the month of Dhul-Hijjah, of the year he was born in the last month, and he died in the first month of the year that he died in. So really, it's really 89 years and 1 month and 2 weeks. So really 89. Even though it looks like 90, if you just look at, you know, calculating the numbers of the years. Now, Tayyib, mention something significant. Question number five, mention something significant about the early life and upbringing of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Ibaz. Something, brief point about his early upbringing. Okay, I'm going to go to the back of this, Abdul Wali. Allahumma sta'an.
He lived in a caring house with his mother.
Okay.
And his mother, she died in 1356 to Hijrah.
Okay, he lived and was raised by his mother. And his mother died, yani, when he was still relatively young, not a child, but, yani, I guess he was about 20...
He was 20 years old.
20? Mm-hmm. A little bit more than that, maybe 23 or something like that. His mother died in what year?
1356.
1356, and he was born in 1330, so 26. He was 26 years old. What else? Another point about his upbringing. Now help me with your name.
What?
Huh? Adam. Adam. Now,
Fadl. He lost his sight at an early age.
He lost his sight. He became blind at an early age. Naam. What else? Another significant point about his upbringing. Somebody else. Something important about his upbringing. Naam. Mahmood. Ahmed, Adam, and Mahmood. Allahumma musta'an. That's going to be difficult. Mahmood. Okay, he learned from many scholars, yani, at the time when he was growing up in Riyadh, it was the place where most of the scholars, the major scholars of the Dawah Salafiyya, were in Riyadh at that time. And his main teacher was Sheikh Imam Muhammad ibn Ibrahim Ali Sheikh. Now, what else? One last point. Fadl.
He was an orphan.
His father died when he was how old?
Three.
Before he reached three years old. And this is very important. He was raised as an orphan by his mother alone. And Allah granted success to him, yani from the upbringing of his mother and the environment of the place that he grew up in. Okay, question number six. Discuss briefly the main subject of this book and at least two of its secondary subjects. The main subject of this book. Be careful. Aqeedah. Okay, that's a little bit more. Main subject. A little bit more to the subject of Aqeedah. Yani, is it just everything about Aqeedah or is it something more specific from Aqeedah? Sharif. Tawheed. Okay. A little bit more specific. That's more specific than Aqeedah, mashallah. Now we're going to get a little bit more specific. Ahmed.
Iman in Allah with his names and attributes.
Naam. Al-Iman billahi wa asma'ihi wa sifatihi. This book is primarily focused on Al-Iman billahi wa asma'ihi wa sifatihi. Yani, yes, this is Tawheed. This is one major aspect of Tawheed. Tawheed al-asma' wa sifat. This book is about Aqeedah, yes. It's about Tawheed. But specifically, more specifically, it's focusing on the Tawheed related to Allah's names and characteristics. Now, some of the secondary topics that this book also deals with. One of the second most important topic that it talks about after that is what? Naam. Okay, it also deals with qadr. Naam, it deals with qadr and the levels, the maratib of qadr. It also deals with, even before qadr, it deals with another topic. From the pillars of iman. He's going to mention that in passing, but there's three chapters dealing with al-iman, with yawm al-akhir, now the hereafter. Other topics that it deals with, naam, Abdul Haq, belief in the unseen. Okay, I mean, that's part of, you know, the general topic of aqidah, but specifically there are chapters about specific topics in the end of the book. From amongst them is al-iman bil yawm al-akhir, and from amongst them is iman bil qadr, and from amongst them, character. The last chapter is dealing with any good character. Naam. Also?
Major sins.
Okay, deals with iman, the definition of iman, and yani the people who commit major sins. Yani, what is the view of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning people who commit major sins? And these are some of the secondary topics that are also dealt with in this book, in the last few chapters of the book after. Most of it is focusing on al-iman billahi wa asma'i wa sifati. Question number 7, discuss the linguistic and technical meaning of i'tiqad or aqidah as mentioned by al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Naam. Tafadhal. Okay, the meaning of i'tiqad is yani it's from the yani pattern or the wazn of yani ifti'al. The meaning of it is al-rabd wa shadd, and it means to tie something and to fasten it, yani to tie it tight. Naam. That's from the linguistic perspective. From the technical perspective, the meaning of it is, Abdul Wali?
That which the mind and heart has determined, there is no doubt about.
That which the mind and the heart has determined without any doubt. Naam. And the thing that a person is certain about. And the heart is tied to it. Naam. There were some other comments that the Sheikh made that are really of great importance. From amongst them, we'll just quickly mention them as we pass, is that he said that this i'tiqad or aqidah, the thing that a person's mind or heart has determined with certainty, if it is in agreement with reality, then it is sahih, yani it is aqidah sahiha. But if what a person believes to be true is contrary to reality, then it is aqidah fasida, yani it is false. Aqidah or batila. And this, the example that he gave of this is that the Muslims' belief in Allah being one creator and one deserving to be worshipped is in agreement with reality, and therefore it is aqidah sahiha. And the belief of the Nasara that Allah is three and one is false. It's not in agreement with reality, and therefore it is false aqidah. It's aqidah, but it is false aqidah. And we want to distinguish, and when we talk about aqidah, there's false aqidah and there's true aqidah. Yani accurate, correct, yani authentic aqidah. The last question is mentioned 3 points which show the importance of studying aqidah and more specifically at tawheed. Mention 3 points which show the importance of studying aqidah and specifically tawheed. Now, one. Okay, Pate. That aqidah is the foundation. And when we look at the study of the aspects of deen, from one perspective, we can say that there is the usul and the furu'. The usul, the fundamentals, the foundation is the aqidah. And the furu' or the branches is the jurisprudence or fiqh. So this shows the importance of aqidah. It is the foundation of everything. And everything else is secondary. Another point. From the points that show the importance of studying aqidah or tawheed.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
the concentration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 13 years that they were in Mecca, for 13 years that he concentrated on this matter of aqidah and specifically at tawheed, yani to lay the foundation. This shows that it shows its importance, and it also shows that this foundation has to be attended to before everything else. Naam.
Tawheed is the right of Allah over his messenger?
It's the right of Allah over. It's the right of Allah over
his servants.
Over the people. Naam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Mu'adh, "Do you know what is the right of Allah?" and he said, "Allah and His Messenger knows best." He said to him, "What? It is that you that you all worship him alone and do not associate anything with him. Now, any other point? I think that's three. Now,
every messenger
that was sent, and to every people a messenger was sent, calling to the worship of Allah alone, calling to Tawheed and avoiding the worship of other than Allah. Now, any other point? That's four.
Tawheed is the core foundation of Aqeedah.
Tawheed is the core of the Aqeedah. Tawheed is the most important matter of Aqeedah. And everything else branches from that, as we'll see in our discussion tonight, an allusion to that. Now, Fadl.
The Prophet sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam, ordered the Prophet Tawheed to be first. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, radiallahu anhu, he told him, you're going to the qawmin min ahl kitab. Let the first thing that you call them to be to worship Allah alone, to Tawheed. Okay, tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the introduction of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to this book and the explanation of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz. And we'll be reading in Arabic from page 9 to the end of this section, hopefully, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And in Arabic and English, we'll be reading from page 6. Page 6. Now, after the table of contents, the first page, page 6, huh?
5. The introduction is 5.
Yeah, page 6.
Okay, it starts at page 6.
I'm confused.
You said you want to start at the introduction.
Yeah.
Okay, so page 5.
5, page 5? Okay. I'm sorry, I don't have the book in front of me. All right, so what we're going to be doing here is that we're going to read, and we're going to look at some details concerning the introduction itself, and then the explanation of that introduction with some fine points are brought out, that we should be paying attention to. The purpose of an explanation of a book is for us to understand it better. So the explanation is really, really important. It's equally important to the book itself if it helps us to understand what was intended by the author when he wrote these words, and especially if you consider that this book was written quickly. It was written quickly. In a sitting, in one sitting after the Asr prayer. Therefore, it's compact. It's compact. He wrote in these few words everything that he thought was important in this topic of Iman Billahi, especially Al-Asma wa Sifat. So, the explanation of these things requires a scholar to come after that and try to bring out what has been compacted into these few words. And so this is the importance of the sharh. The importance of the sharh of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah. So let's pay attention carefully to the text of the book as well as its explanation. So on page 9 in the Arabic text, at the top of the page it says sharh, muqaddima al-mu'allif. Al-mu'allif is the one who authored the book, the author, al-mu'allif. This chapter is the explanation of the introduction of the author, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Qala al-mu'allif, the author, rahimahullah, he says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi arsala rasuluhu bil-huda wa deen al-haq, liyudhhiruhu ala deeni kulli wa kafa billahi shahida. That the praise belongs to Allah who has sent his messenger. Allah is being praised. Allah is due praise for many reasons. He's saying here though, he's praising Allah for what? For sending his messenger, bil-huda wa deen al-haq, with the right guidance and the religion of truth. For what purpose? لِيُظْهِرُهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, so that it will be uppermost and overcome every deen, every religion. So that it will overcome every religion. It will prevail over every religion. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِدًا, and Allah is sufficient as a witness of this, that Allah has sent his messenger with the huda and the deen al-haq for the purpose of it prevailing over every religion. Allah is a witness to that. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَاهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ إِقْرَارًا بِهِ وَتَوْهِيدًا وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا مَزِيدًا أَمَّا بَعْدُ. Then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah begins, and he mentions here the two things through which a person enters Islam, the foundations of Islam. That is the shahadatan. The thing that a person has to know and understand and believe in their heart to enter in Islam, to be a Muslim. That is the shahada of La ilaha illallah and the shahada of Muhammad Rasulullah. So he says, I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, without any partner. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped, has a right to be worshipped, except Allah alone, without any partner. Iqraran bihi wa tawheedan. Yani iqraran meaning that, yani acknowledging, yani this reality, confirming this reality, and singling out Allah alone with it. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his abd, yani his worshipper, and his rasul, his messenger who he sent to deliver the message. And then he says, yani he makes the prayer that we should all, yani say whenever we hear the name of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasleeman mazidan. Yani that may the salat of Allah be upon him and the be upon him and upon his alihi. Here, yani some of the scholars said that the meaning of ali here, it means his followers. His followers and his companions. And sometimes Ali may refer to the Ahl Bayt, the family of the Prophet ﷺ, who are believers. And in this particular case, yani, it actually what is intended here is his followers. And he may the salat of Allah be upon him and all of his followers, and more specifically from his followers, his companions. And sallama wa sallama tasleeman mazida. And here the meaning, as some of the scholars said, reported from Abu Aliya in the yani a chapter heading from Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, that the meaning here is that yani the taslim is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam be protected from any harm anything difficult. Naam. After this he said, yani after this introduction, Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah says, hadha i'tiqadu al-firqa an-najiyah al-mansura ila yawm al-sa'ah ahl as-sunnah wal jama'ah. Yani these are some of the descriptions of the people, yani, who follow Islam as it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the i'tiqad, the beliefs, yani the creed of al-firqa an-najiyah al-mansura ila qiyam as-sa'a ahl as-sunnah wal jama'ah. Yani they are known as al-firqa an-najiyah, Taif al-mansura, yani ahl as-sunnah wal jama'ah, and various names, as Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah mentions in his explanation concerning this matter. This is the aqidah of the saved sect, the victorious group, yani who will be victorious until the coming of the hour, until the establishment of the hour of judgment. And they are also known as Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Wahuwa, this aqidah of the firqa an-najiyah, huwa al-iman billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal ba'athi ba'd al-mawti wal imanu بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. So what is this aqidah? He says, it is having iman in Allah. Meaning here he's mentioning the arkan of iman as-sitta. He's saying that the aqidah of the Ahl as-Sunnah wal Jama'ah, its foundation are the arkan of iman. And everything that we believe in branch out from the arkan of iman. In the same way that the arkan of iman branch out or stem from al-iman billahi. Yani that is the asul of the usul. The foundation of all fundamentals is believing in Allah. And everything else, the other yani pillars of faith branch out from that, and the rest of our aqidah comes from these six pillars of faith. Yani believing in Allah and His angels and His books, the revelations and His messengers, and the resurrection after death. And then he repeats yani al-iman, the word iman again, for emphasis on the importance of this sixth pillar of the pillars of faith, al-iman bil-qadri, khayrihi wa sharrihi. Yani having iman in the divine decree, it's good and it's evil. Now to the sharh of Samahat al-Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. He says, yaqulu rahimahullah. Yani he's saying, the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy upon him, is saying, alhamdulillah alladhi arsala rasuluhu bil-huda wa deen al-haq liyudhiruhu ala deen kullihi wa kafa billahi shahida. He's saying this is the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. The praise belongs to Allah who has sent His messenger with the right guidance and the religion of truth to make it overcome every deen, and Allah is sufficient as a witness to this. Shaykh is saying his explanation of this sentence, the first sentence of the introduction of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said, arasala, yani rasulu, arasala muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil-huda wa deen al-haq. Yani his messenger, he's saying, he means the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he sent him with al-huda, right guidance, and the Deen al-Haq, the religion of truth, كما قال جل وعلا, as Allah, يعني جل وعلا says in the Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 33rd Ayah, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. يعني He, Allah, He is the one who has sent His Messenger with the right guidance in the religion of truth. Here, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, explains to us what is intended by Al-Huda and what is intended by Deen al-Haq. Yani what is intended by Huda and what is intended by Deen al-Haq. He says, Al-Huda, Al-Ilmu Al-Nafi'u, Wal-Akhbaru Al-Sadiqatu, Yuqalu Laha Huda. Yani that Huda, it is beneficial knowledge. Beneficial knowledge. Not any knowledge, but beneficial knowledge. وَالْأَخْبَارِ الصَّادِقَةِ An information that is truthful. Truthful information. This is referred to as huda. Beneficial knowledge and truthful information. وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ الشَّرَائِعِ الْمُسْتَقِيمَةِ الْعَادِلَةِ مِنَ الْأَوَامِرِ وَالنَّوَاهِ And the deen al-haq, the religion of truth, this means the upright Shara'i, yani the sharias, the legislations, the laws that are upright, that are adila, that are just, including al-awamir, the commands, and al-nawahi, the prohibitions. Deen al-haq, it is those legislations, those laws that are upright and that are just, including the commands of Allah and the prohibitions of Allah. This is what is intended by deen al-haq. Wallahu qad arsalahu بعلم نافع وعمل صالح والشرائع مستقيمة ليظهره على الدين كله بما أرسله من الهدى وكفى بالله شهيدا على هذا الأمر العظيم. So here Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz رحمه الله, he says Allah has indeed sent him, يعني the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, بعلم نافع, with beneficial knowledge, وَعَمَلًا صَالِحٍ, and righteous deeds, actions, وَشَرَائِ مُسْتَقِيمَ, and upright laws, legislations, in order that this deen will overcome every other deen. By means of, it will overcome every deen by means of what? بِمَا أَرَسَلَهُ مِنَ الْهُدَى, by means of that which he has sent him with, the right guidance, with this right guidance. وَكَفَ بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا, and Allah is sufficient as a witness ala hadha al-amr al-azim, yani Allah is sufficient as a witness to this yani great, important, magnificent affair, yani the sending of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with right guidance, yani ilm nafi' wa amal salih. Many of the scholars of the people of Sunnah said that yani huda is beneficial knowledge and deen al-haq is righteous actions. These two components are critical for Muslims who want to earn the pleasure of Allah. That there's no way that a person can earn the pleasure of Allah, can be successful in this world or the next, except that they make as an important priority in their life seeking beneficial knowledge. And then coupling that with righteous action. It's not enough to accumulate information, but it has to be acted upon. And this is what our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with, yani the beneficial knowledge, so that a person knows what will be pleasing to Allah, and then the righteous actions, the implementation of that knowledge. And this is the way to success. And it is this that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with, and the upright laws and legislations, the commands and prohibitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with, in order by means of it to overcome every other religion, to be superior and uppermost over every other way of life or philosophy or whatever. And Allah is sufficient as a witness of this reality, that He did send His Messenger with the Huda and the Deen al-Haq, so that it will prevail over every other way of life. The second statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah that the Shaykh explains, he says, ثُمَّ قَالَ, yani then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا. He said, and I bear witness that nothing deserves the worship except Allah alone, and He has no partner. يعني confirming this. يعني إقرارا به وتوحيدا. and singling out Allah alone for this, he said, يعني إقراراً بأنه, يعني this إقراراً after لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, he said إقراراً به means إقراراً بأنه هو الواحد المستحق للعبادة. That Allah, it means that this is the confirmation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-wahid, the one who is unique. Al-mustahiq lil-ibadah, who alone deserves worship. And even most of the scholars of Sunnah said the meaning of la ilaha illallah is la ma'abud bihaqqin illallah. And this is important because even today people are still saying there's no God but God. That is not the meaning of la ilaha illallah. That is not the meaning. That doesn't even make any sense, logically. The meaning of la ilaha illallah is la ma'abud bihaqqin. That there's nothing that is worshipped, that has a right to be worshipped, that deserves to be worshipped, except Allah. As far as there being gods, things that are worshipped, there are lots of gods. Aliha. Allah mentions in the Quran so many places, they're aliha. That they have gods, things that they worship. But the meaning of la ilaha illallah is la ma'abud. La ilaha, yani ma'abud bihaqqin. There's nothing that's worshipped that deserves to be worshipped, that has a right to be worshipped, except Allah. Otherwise, there are lots of things that are worshipped that don't have a right to be worshipped. And this is what he's referring to here, that this is confirming بِأَنَّهُ هُوَ الْوَاحِدِ, that Allah is the only one, المستحق للعبادة, that deserves. يعني مستحق يعني له حق. He has a right to the worship, all worship. And likewise he said, وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدِ فِي ذَاتِهِ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ فِي صِفَاتِهِ وَأَسْمَائِهِ لَا سَمِيَ لَهُ وَلَا كَفَّ لَهُ وَلَا شَبِيهَ لَهُ. So here now he's going to explain, yani, the things that Allah is alone with, that He is single, unique by Himself in. He says, وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ فِي ذَاتِهِ, yani in His divine being, yani He is one divine being, not three divine beings. Not three divine beings, one divine being, fi dhatihi, his essence. I think they translate it, and the English translation is essence, fi dhatihi. Wa huwa al-wahid fi sifatihi wa asma'ihi. And he is alone, single, unique, in his qualities or characteristics and his names. And that he alone deserves these qualities of perfection and these beautiful names. La sami'a lahu, yani there's no one who has, and he doesn't have anyone that has the same name as him, meaning has the same real qualities that that name entails. In other words, the person might have a name like Alim or Hakim or whatever, but the actual qualities that come with that are unique to Allah alone. وَلَا كَفَّ, and there's no one equal or alike or comparable to him. وَلَا شَبِيهَ, and there's no one or nothing that resembles him. Here, yani I want to note that in the first thing that he mentioned concerning this confirmation, إِقْرَارًا بِأَنَّهُ هُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْمُسْتَحِقُ لِلْعِبَادَةِ, he's referring to Tawheed al-Ibadah or Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. Sometimes referred to Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah or Tawheed Ilahiyyah. All of this is in reference to what? Allah is the only one that is divine and that deserves to be worshipped. He is alone in deserving to be worshipped. And then he goes back later on and refers to it again. As we just go through this paragraph, you'll see that he refers back to this aspect of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Ibadah or Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. The second aspect of Tawheed that he refers to is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, that Allah is alone, He should be singled out for these divine lofty qualities and names. And then he says, وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدِ فِي رُبُوبِيَّتِهِ. So this is the next category or division of Tawheed that is exclusively the rights of Allah alone, yani as being the Rabb. Al-Wahid fi rububiyyatihi wa khalqihi li'ibadihi la khaliq lahum ghayrahu al-khallaq al-razaq. So he says Allah is alone in the right to be singled out as the only Rabb. Yani alone in His creation of His worshippers. He's the only creator. There's no creator for them other than Him. Al-Khallaq al-Razaq. Yani the magnificent creator and the yani great provider. And these are aspects of rububiyyah. Yani creation and providing and ownership and controlling the affair. From the main aspects of rububiyyah, when the scholars explain the details of Rububiyyah, it includes Yani Al-Khalq, that He is the only creator. And Rububiyyah, the Rabb, is the only creator. And as well, He is the owner, Yani Mulk. He owns everything that He created. And as well, Yani, He is the one who controls all affairs. Yani At-Tadbir, He is the one who controls every affair. He is the one who decides our affairs. And along with that is providing and giving life and death and so on. So here, Yani, He is saying that, again, He is wahid, alone, one, unique in His rububiyyah, in the creation of His, of the creation. That He is, they have no creator other than Him. And then He says, وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدْ فِي الْإِلَهِيَّةِ. Now we're going back to again to what He mentioned in the beginning, that He is one, يعني الواحد المستحق للعبادة. He's going back to that point again, and He's saying that هو الواحد في الإلهية. الإلهية is referring to يعني the word إله, that He's the only إله that deserves to be worshipped. Sometimes it's called الألوهية, also from the same root, that He is the only إله. From that side, it's looking at the Tawheed from the perspective of Allah, that He is the إله. Sometimes this same aspect of Tawheed is referred to as Tawheed al-Ubudiyya or Tawheed al-Ibadah. That's looking at it from the perspective of the Abd, the one who is worshipping Him. So there are two ways to look at this aspect of Tawheed. From one side, looking to Allah as the Ilah, Ilahiyya or Uluhiyya, and from the other side, looking at the Abd, the worshipper who worships Him. So we call it Ibadah or Ubudiyya. It's the same Tawheed. Yani that Allah is the one who deserves the worship, He's the one who we give our worship to. Tawheed, He is wahid fi al-ilahiyya. La yastahiqu al-ibadah siwahu. No one deserves worship besides Him, Jalla wa Ala. And then He goes back to again the beginning of this statement, yani, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la iqraran bihi wa tawheedan. He says, iqraran bihi, yani, bihada al-tawheed al-azim. And He confirming the affirmation of this great magnificent tawheed. وَتَوْهِيدًا here means a إِفْرَادًا لِلَّهِ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani confirming this great Tawheed and singling Allah out. Yani Tawheedan إِفْرَادًا. The meaning of Tawheed is إِفْرَاد. Yani linguistically you say وَحَدَ يُوَحِدُ, yani the Master is Tawheed. Or you say أَفْرَدَ يُفْرِدُ, إِفْرَاد. Meaning the same thing. Singling Allah alone, yani singling Him out, yani for that which is His exclusive right. And the most important of that is the worship. Then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah prayed, yani made dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here the Shaykh says, ثم صلى على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في الحديث أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أرشد من دعا أن يحمد الله ثم يصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And here he says, then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah calls for the salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And salat on the Prophet, as I began to allude to, and then I got distracted for a moment, yani the salat of Allah is as Imam al-Bukhari mentions in his Sahih, in a chapter heading referring to Abu Aliya, he said that it means yani the praise of Allah in the highest assembly of the angels. The praise of Allah for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst the angels. So here he says that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah salla ala nabi, he asks for yani the praise of Allah amongst the angels upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as came in the hadith in which he guided the one who wanted to make dua. He said that that person should praise Allah first and then ask for salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani a person wants to make dua, it's permissible that a person may just say, oh Allah, give me this or give me that. But it is better that a person first praise Allah and then ask for salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then ask for what they want, as came in the hadith that he's referring to here. So he said, فَيُسْتَحَبْ فِي تَقْدِيمَةِ الدُّعَاء وَالْمُؤَلَّفَاتِ حَمْدُ اللَّهِ وَالثَّنَاءَ عَلَيْهِ وَالشَّهَادَةُ لَهُ بِالْوَحْدَانِيَّةِ وَلِنَبِيِّهِ بِالرِّسَالَةِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So he said, yani it is commendable, it is praiseworthy, it is mustahab, that in the beginning that a person starts their dua and that they start their yani writings, mu'allafat, when people writing books or whatever, that they begin with the praise of Allah and glorification of Allah and bearing witness to His wahdaniyya, that Allah is one that he is alone, that he is unique, that he is unique. Yani in his names, in his qualities and characteristics, and in his right, yani to worship and so on. Bearing witness to his wahdaniyah. وَلِنَبِيِّهِ بِالرِّسَالَةِ And also, الشَّهَادَ لِنَبِيِّهِ بِالرِّسَالَةِ And bearing witness to the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was sent as a messenger. Yani his risala is like his nubuwa, yani his prophethood. Here, risala means his messengership, that he was sent as a messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. لِأَنَّ هَذَا مِنْ أَسْبَابِ قَبُولِ الدُّعَى وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ التَّوْفِيقِ Why should a person begin with praising Allah and glorifying Him and bearing witness to His wahdaniyah, His uniqueness, His oneness, and also yani to the prophethood or the messengership of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? Why should a person begin with this? For two reasons. لِأَنَّ هَذَا مِنْ أَسْبَابِ قُبُولِ الدُّعَى Because this is from the reasons or the causes or the means through which a person's dua will be accepted. Yani this is from the means through which a person's dua will be accepted. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah wrote a very small essay which we have discussed last year sometime. Yani الدُّعَى الَّذِي لَا يُرَدْ The dua that's not rejected. He mentioned there 13 or 14 things that are confirmed in the sunnah that if a person were to do them, it's highly unlikely that their dua would be rejected. Yani whoever has any need that they call upon Allah for, they need to know what they should be doing for their dua to be accepted. And he mentioned from amongst them, yani mentioning, yani bearing witness to Allah's wahdaniyah, His, yani His oneness, and also praising and glorifying Allah, yani before a person makes dua, they praise and glorify Allah, and they call upon Him by His names, His asma and His sifat and His tawheed, and also, yani he mentions, yani praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and praying for him, from amongst those 13 or 14 matters, which if a person were to do them, it is highly unlikely that their dua would be rejected. So he said the first reason is because why we should yani praise and glorify Allah and acknowledge and recognize the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is because it's from the means through which their dua is accepted. وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ التَّوْفِيقِ And in general, it's from the means for a person to be successful in whatever they do. Whether it's in something that they write or anything that they do of good, it's from the means, the asbab of a tawfiq, that Allah will give a person success in being able to do whatever they do correctly and in a way that it will be accepted by him. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ فِي حَدِيثِ فَضَالَ إِبْنِ عُبَيْدِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ And for this reason, yani, it is mentioned in the hadith of Fudala ibn Ubayd radiallahu anhu, إِذَا دَعَى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِالتَّحْمِيدِ اللَّهِ وَالثَّنَاءَ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ لِيُصَلِّي عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم ثُمَّ لِيَدْعُوا بَعْدُ بِمَا شَاءَ Yani, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if any one of you supplicates, then let him begin. Start with praising Allah and glorifying Him. Begin with that. And then ask for salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then supplicate after that for whatever you will. So we all have been supplicating most of our lives, or at least some of us since we became Muslims, and we need to know yani these manners, the adab and ahkam of dua, so that our dua can be accepted. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here in this hadith mentions, if any one of you, any Muslim, wants to supplicate to Allah, that he should begin with praising and glorifying Allah, and then ask for salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then ask for whatever it is that a person needs. ثُمَّ قَالَ أَمَّا بَعْدَ After this, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, after that, yani after this introduction, وَهِيَ كَلِمَةٌ يُؤْتَى بِهَا لِلْفَصْلِ بَيْنَ مَا قَبْلَهَا وَمَا بَعْدَهَا Yani this word, أَمَّا بَعْدَ it is a word that is brought or is used in order to separate between what's before saying that and what is after saying that. To separate between the introductory comments and what is going to be said now. وَالْمَقْصُودُ بِهَا الْإِنْتِقَالُ يَعْنِي أَمَّا بَعْدْ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ Yani what is intended by أَمَّا بَعْدْ It means that a person is yani going from one position to another position. الْإِنْتِقَالُ Yani going on, yani transition from one matter to another matter. That is after, yani now to say what comes after, yani what has preceded, the speech that has preceded, what comes after that. فَهَذَا, yani Shaykh al-Islam says, فَهَذَا اِعْتِقَاد Yani here, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah is saying that this is the i'tiqad, yani the creed, the aqidah of the yani firqa al-najiyah, or the ta'ifa mansura, Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. He said this is the i'tiqad. So i'tiqad, basically we already talked about last week, the linguistic and technical definition of i'tiqad. What we mean by i'tiqad? Aqidah. Yani the creed, what we believe in. Yani فَأَقُولُ هَذَا الَّذِي ذَكَرَهُ. Yani al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz is saying, فَأَقُولُ أَنَا. I am saying now, yani in reference to this statement of Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah, فَأَقُولُ هَذَا الَّذِي ذَكَرَهُ هُوَ اِعْتِقَادَ الْفِرْقَ النَّاجِيَةَ الْمَنْصُورَ إِلَى يَوْمُ قِيَامَةَ أَحْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. Yani al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz is saying that that which he mentioned, Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah, الَّذِي ذَكَرَهُ, what he mentioned, هُوَ اِعْتِقَادَ الْفِرْقَ النَّاجِيَةَ الْمَنْصُورَ إِلَى قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. This, yani which he mentioned, what he mentioned is the book that he wrote. The book that he wrote, that is in front of us, that we are reading. This is the aqidah of the saved group, al-firqa al-najiyah, commonly referred to as the saved sect. And this is correct, yani to say the saved sect, even though the connotation of the word sect could be negative, but not necessarily. Yani the Prophet ﷺ used it in both ways. So this is the creed of the saved sect. Al-Mansura, that is victorious, that is given success and victory. Ila Qiyam al-Sa'ah, up until the establishment of the Hour of Judgment. Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. That's the statement of Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah. This is the aqidah of these people who are referred to as Firqa al-Najiyah, Ta'ifa al-Mansura, Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. This is their creed. لأن الرسول, yani here Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz is referring to the first description that he gave, al-firqa al-najiyah. Why is it called the saved sect? Why is this expression used? لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر أن الأمة تفترق إلى 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة كلا من هي يا رسول الله قال الجماعة وفي لفظ Ma'ana alayhi wa ashabi. Yani in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentions, he informed us that his ummah would be divided, taftariq. Yani would be divided into sects. 73 firqa. All of them would be in the fire except one. Yani that his ummah would be divided into 73 different groups, people upon different things, different belief systems and so on. All of them would be in the fire except one. It was said, "Man hiya ya Rasulullah." So which is that one, yani that would not be in the fire, yani that would be saved from the fire. And that's why we're saying al-firqa al-najiyah. Najiyah meaning they would be saved from the fire. Which is that one, ya Rasulullah? He said, al-jama'ah. Yani those who stick together in jama'ah. Yani in jama'ah, yani they unite upon the truth. In another wording of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yani, who are those people? He said, "Ma hiya alayhi, ma ana alayhi wa ashabi." Yani, that which I and my companions are upon. Yani, the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And it is important to make a note here, and that is that this wording is really so beneficial if you consider that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have said, "My path." But he said, "Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi." Meaning that which I and my companions, he included his companions, that they also should be followed. That they also should be followed. This path is the path of the Prophet ﷺ and the path of his companions. And this hadith, yani, there's some footnotes, lengthy, very, very lengthy footnotes related to this hadith, and I'll skip them for the sake of time. But I think in the translation, the footnotes are there in the translation? Are there any footnotes in the translation? Yeah, the footnotes for the hadith, yani where it came from in different wording and stuff like that. Anyway, it's kind of lengthy, so I'm going to pass it, inshallah. Yeah, okay. Now, what is important here is that in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Taftariqu," yani ummati taftariq ila 73 firqa kulluha fi an-nar. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in advance, what's going to happen in the future, that the ummah is going to be divided. Yani they were not divided in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But the people will become divided. The Muslims will become divided into 73 sects. And all of them will be in the fire. Yani the meaning of all of them will be in the fire is very, very important. I mean, all of them, because of their deviation from the correct way, deserve to be in the fire. It doesn't mean that everybody who deviated is going to be in the fire. But it means that they deserve to be in the fire. But Allah may forgive whomever He wills. Yani any kind of deviation that's less than kufr. Because there's deviation that's kufr and there's deviation that's sinful. Okay, so yani the bid'ah, for example, that is yani disbelief, then of course, person dies on disbelief, then that's the end of the matter. But the bid'ah that is disobedience, Allah might forgive that. Or He may punish them and they will still not remain in the fire. So the meaning here, all of them will be in the fire, meaning all of those people who deviated deserve to be punished in the fire. Allah will punish whoever He wills, and He will forgive whomever He wills, anything less than kufr or shirk. Then also, yani he says, the jama'ah. In the first report, he said, who are they? They are the jama'ah. This shows the importance of jama'ah. That we should not be separating ourselves from one another. Muslims need to be united. It's very important. And then finally he says, yani that path which I and my companions are upon. And it looks like we're not going to cover all these pages, but in any case, we'll just finish like some of it. He says after this, yani al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah says concerning this, فَهَاُولَيْ هُمْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ Yani the people who will be saved, al-firqa al-najiyah. And here I want to make a note in case I forget. Al-firqa al-najiyah, some of the scholars of the people of Sunnah said that they are referred to as firqa al-najiyah for two main reasons. Najiyah, they will be saved. They will be saved if they follow the path of the Prophet and his companions. They will be saved from bid'ah in this world. And they will be saved from the hellfire in the next life. Yani a najiyah means they will be saved. Saved from what? If they follow the path of the Prophet and his companions, they will be saved from innovation in this world. And if they follow the path of the Prophet and his companions, they will be saved from the hellfire in the next life. So al-firqa al-najiyah means the saved sect will be saved from innovation in this world and saved from the hellfire in the next life. May Allah make us to be from them. Ameen ya Rabbi. فَهَوْلَا هُمْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ So these people, they are the أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ Yani the people of Sunnah, who adhere to the Sunnah, strictly adhere to the Sunnah. Yani in the way that we worship, in what we believe, in our character, our manners, our morals, in all of that. How we do business, how we deal with our families, our children and our spouse. All of that is from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Ahl Sunnah means they adhere to all of that. It's not just that we dress a certain way. And we have a beard and a short thobe and we have some certain characteristics. Ahl Sunnah are the people who follow the Sunnah. And the Sunnah of the Prophet is not just outward appearance. It's not just the how we talk about Islam, the expressions that we use, or the scholars that we name, or the way that we dress. But Sunnah means our life is in accordance with the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These, they are the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people who adhere to the Sunnah and they stick together upon that. Wa yuqalu lahum al-firqa al-najiyah, and they are also referred to as the saved sect. Wa yuqalu lahum al-firqa al-mansura ila qiyam as-sa'ah, and they are also referred to as the sect that would be supported and helped by Allah and made victorious until the establishment of the hour of judgment. وَيُقَالَ لَهُمْ الطَّائِفَ الْمَنْصُورَةِ إِلَى قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ And they are referred to as the yani victorious group. Yani who would be victorious, Allah would grant them victory until the hour of judgment. Meaning He would grant them victory yani in one way or another. Either they would be victorious in a material sense. In this world they would overcome the other people, the armies on the battlefield, or at least they would be victorious in that the establishment of the true Islam would remain victorious until the hour of judgment. And there would always be some people in the earth who would Allah would give them victory in establishing yani the sunnah. وَيُقَالَ لَهُمْ الطَّائِفَ الْمَنْصُورِ إِلَى قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ وَكُلُّهَا وَصَفَ لِفِرْقَةٍ كُلُّهَا وَصَفَ لِفِرْقَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ And all of this is a description. All of these different descriptions are a description of one group of people. يُقَالَهَا الْمَنْصُورَةِ يُقَالَهَا النَّاجِيَةِ يُقَالَهَا أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ And they are referred to as the The Mansura victorious, they are referred to as Najiyah, the saved, they are referred to as the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah. وَيُقَالَهُمْ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَهُمْ السَّحَابَ. They are also just referred to as Ahl al-Sunnah, and they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiyallahu anhum, وَمَنْ سَارَ عَلَى نَهْجِهِمْ. Yani who is this Ahl al-Sunnah? This Taif al-Mansura, Firqa al-Najiyah, they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever travels upon their methodology. فَهُمْ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ. These are the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. وَهُمْ الْفِرْقَةِ النَّاجِيَةِ. These are the saved sect. أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن سار على طريقهم وسلك مسلكهم واهتدى بهم. هؤلاء هم أهل السنة والجماعة. So, يعني the important point here is what? That the أهل السنة والجماعة that we are talking about, this saved sect, this victorious group, they are those who travel upon the methodology of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. They are the real أهل السنة والجماعة, the saved sect, the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whoever followed their tariq, whoever traveled upon the tariq, the path of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and traveled the maslaka, yani same thing, the path or the way of the companions, waqtada bihim, and they took them as a model. Yani they took the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as their model. Na'am.
The Arabic just be like the
manhaj? Absolutely. Now, who followed the minhaj of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. And who waqtada bihim, yani who took them as an example or model. So, here I just want to make a quick note, and that's because we're not going to be able to finish it like what we intended to cover tonight, so it doesn't matter that much now. But I want to make a note that is that our following of the Prophet ﷺ and his example and his model is our primary foundation. But attached to that, inseparable from that, is following the model of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Yani, as an individual, every individual follows the life of the Prophet ﷺ. As a community though, what do we follow as an example, as a community? The companions of the Prophet radiallahu anhum ajmain, the Sahaba. So it's very important that we don't exclude them from the equation. That they are of the utmost importance. They are the people that Allah decreed to be living in that time when He missioned the final Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be people in whose hearts He placed iman, to believe in Him in His lifetime, and to follow Him and to support Him and to defend Him. These people are not just regular people, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when people curse them and speak ill of them, we should know that these people have gone completely off the track. This is not just, oh, they made a mistake. No, these people are out of Islam. People who curse the companions of the Prophet, who Allah, radiallahu anhum, radu an. Yani, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Allah says that about them. And then somebody is displeased with them, then these people have left Islam. And this is a serious matter. And we shouldn't think that people who curse the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who reject them, and who declare takfir on them. So all of them apostated, left Islam, except a handful of them. Few who they, yani, chose to keep as in good standing. Huh? Yes. You know, then this is a dangerous matter. Okay, so then he says, and we'll close with this, inshallah, because I think we might be at the hour. Yeah, pretty much. So then he says, هَوْلَا أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. These are the real Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. وَيَخْرُجْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ وَالْمُعْتَزِلَةِ وَالْمُرْجِيَةِ وَالْقَدَرِيَّةِ. And other groups besides them, these are four of the main groups who have deviated. The Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila, the Murjiyah, and the Qadariyah. And this is a course in and of itself. But these are people who deviated, yani, in reference to the Asma and the Sifat of Allah. That's one of the main deviations of the Jahmiyyah, and as well as the Mu'tazila. And they also deviated in terms of issues of Iman, the Mu'tazila and the Murji'ah, and the Qadariyah in terms of, yani, the Qadr. So all of them have some deviation in some of these fundamental areas of Islam, whether it's Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, or whether it's Qadr, or whether it is Iman, yani the declaring of people who committed major sins to be kafirs, or to be neither kafir or mu'min, in between, bayna manzilatayn, the Mu'tazila, and all of these kind of ideas. The point here is he's saying, يَخْرُجْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, yani outside of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, are the people like the Jahmiya and the Mu'tazila and the Murji'a and the Qadariya. And there are many other groups like them that are also outside of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And this is an issue that also requires some discussion, but this is not the time for it. But the point is that there are people who have deviated from Islam in a very serious manner. And these people need to be recognized for their deviation, not for the sake of cursing them or speaking ill of them, but for knowing that deviation to protect ourselves from it. وَكُلُّ مَنْ خَالَفَ السَّحَابَةِ So whatever group, whether these who are mentioned or anyone else, he said, وَكُلُّ مَنْ خَالَفَ السَّحَابَةِ Everybody who opposed the way of the companions, all of these people are outside of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. However, people want to describe them, it doesn't really matter. Whoever has opposed the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they are not from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we're not trying to be nice. We're saying whoever who goes contrary to the way of the companions, then they are not from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَلَكُولُ مِنَ الْفِرْقَةِ الْإِثْنَتَيْنِ وَالسَّبَعِينَ Rather, those people will be from the 72 sects, the 72 sects of the 73. All of them will be in the fire except one. 72 sects, they will be from them. وَإِنَّمَا يَكُونُ مِنَ الْفِرْقَ النَّاجِيَةِ الْفِرْقَ النَّاجِيَةِ مَنْ سَارَ عَلَى نَهْجِ السَّحَابَةِ فِي تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ لَهُ وَاتِّبَاعِ شَرِيَتِهِ وَتَعْظِيمِ أَمْرِهِ وَنَحْيِهِ كَمَا جَاءَ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَسُنَّةِ نَبِيِّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَؤُلَاءِ هُمْ أَهْلِ الْفِرْقَةِ النَّاجِيَةِ So here, Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, closes by saying, so these, and he's describing who is the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and then he's saying there are other people who are not from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Anybody who opposes the way of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions are not from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Rather, they will be from the 72 sects that are entitled to, that are deserving of punishment in the hellfire. And Allah may forgive whomever He wills anything less than shirk. وَإِنَّمَا يَكُونُ مِنَ الْفِرْقَ النَّاجِيَةِ But rather, those, only those will be from the فِرْقَ النَّاجِيَةِ, the same sect, only those who سَارَ عَلَى نَهَجِ السَّحَابَةِ And who followed the manhaj of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. In what? فِي تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ And in establishing the Tawheed of Allah in general, in all of its aspects that we mentioned earlier, as the Shaykh referred to, the Tawheed of Ar-Rububiyyah and the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat and Tawheed of Ilahiyyah or Uluhiyyah or Ibadah. Yani only those who followed the manhaj of the methodology of the companions in reference to the Tawheed of Allah. That's the central issue, the Tawheed of Allah. That's the most important matter, that people follow the manhaj of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions in the Tawheed of Allah. Wal-Ikhlas lahu. And this is more specific. Al-Ikhlas lahu. Yani the people who follow, who establish the Tawheed of Allah, that they recognize Allah's rights, His exclusive rights, but then that they also worship Allah with ikhlas. Yani because it's possible that theoretically, intellectually, a person acknowledges the aspects of Tawheed that we have discussed. And yet, they might, yani, they might offer some act of worship that is not sincerely done for the sake of Allah. So this is very, very important that from the essential matters that every individual Muslim who wants to earn the pleasure of Allah has to concentrate on is making sure that we, number one, follow the way of the Prophet and his companions, that we do the things the way they did it, but number two, that we also do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. Because no deed that's done to seeking to earn the pleasure of Allah will be accepted by Allah unless it fulfills these two conditions. Number one, that it is done sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. And number two, that it's done correctly according to the Sharia, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, so that they follow this manhaj of the companions in Tawheed of Allah, and in making things sincerely with ikhlas for Allah alone, وَاتِّبَاعِ شَرِيَتِهِ And that they follow His Sharia. And that we follow the Sharia. And that we live by the Sharia. Whether we are in America or in Mecca or Medina, whether we're in a Muslim country or in a Kafir country, in a Western country or other country, whether we're in prison or we're free, yani a person must follow the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of their ability. There's no excuse for us, we're in America, yani we can't do things right, then you need to get out of here then. Itba shariyati, yani following the Sharia, his Sharia. Wa ta'zim amrihi wa nahyi, and yani making important in our lives the commands and the prohibitions of Allah as it came in His book, the Quran, and in the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people who do this, they are the Ahlu al-Firqa al-Najiyah. So I'm going to emphasize this point just one more time because of its importance, that we follow the manhaj of the companions in establishing the Tawheed of Allah in all of its aspects, and that we make sure that we are striving to be sincere in whatever we do, sincerely for the sake of Allah, and that we have to adhere to the laws of Allah that He has legislated, and that we exalt, yani that we hold high and show the utmost respect for His commands and His prohibitions, however difficult any individual might find them. That we follow all of this as it came in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these are the people that are entitled to be called the Firqa Najiyah or the Taifa al-Mansur or Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We're going to close with this. I'm just going to mention that next week we're going to start with the second part of this introduction that we didn't get a chance to see today. Allahu Akbar. This we're going to begin next week with in the Arabic on page 12, wa aqidatuhum. Yani after this establishment of who is Ahl al-Sunnah wal he said their aqida هي الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وفي الرواية أخرى البعث بعد الموت وبالقدر خيره وشره وعقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة تتفرع من هذه الأصول الستة. And this is what we're going to close with, that their aqidah, the aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, it is having iman in Allah and His angels and His revelations, and His messengers. Notice that all of these words end with the pronoun His. Believing in Allah and His angels. And so believing in His angels comes from believing in Allah. The iman billahi is the asl al-usul. It's the foundation of these fundamentals, these foundations. Believing in Allah, believing in His angels. Believing in His revelations, believing in His messengers. وَالْيَوْمُ الْآخِرُ and the last day, and in a narration it had, in another narration it says, الْبَعْثُ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ the resurrection after death, يَوْمُ الْآخِرُ and resurrection after death, meaning the same thing, وَبِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ and the divine decree, the good of it and the evil of it, وَعَقِيدَةُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ تَتَفَرَّعُ and the aqidah, the whole aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, it stems from, it branches out from, تَتَفَرَّعُ it branches out from these six fundamentals. هذه الأصول الستة يعني أركان الإيمان الستة, the six pillars of إيمان. And after this يعني the Sheikh الإمام عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله goes into a little bit of detail very 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 briefly يعني إيمان in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and the يعني last day and the divine decree. He goes into it very very briefly, and inshallah next week we're going to start with that from this page 12, where it mentions their aqidah is iman in Allah and His angels and His books and the messengers. And the time is up now. We're going to stop here, but if anybody has a question or a comment or a correction, we'll take it inshallah after we close out, in case anybody has to leave, so that we don't hold people over time. We're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.